In the name of Jesus, our ever-living, ever-loving Savior, dearly redeemed family of God. Looking back 25 years, it's almost comical. August 1987, one committee called a service committee, getting ready for first service September 13th, 1987 in Snail Lake School. One of the committee members, one of the men, called for my resignation. I kid you not. We're this close to having this. I knew that he had done this to three other pastors before me, so I got up. I said, I'm going to go pray in my office. Probably one of the best things I could have done, because when I came back, things were different. He was settled down. We went on with the meeting. And one of the brothers told me afterwards it was the best thing I could have done, because they went one after one around the table and told him what they thought of his suggestion. We moved on. Service happened. Some years later, another almost comical memory, but it sure made our congregation president mad at that time. Somebody saw something going on in the congregation that he thought would be a problem with our tax-exempt status. Instead of consulting us, he consulted a lawyer. We get the letter back. Nothing came of that. Or I can think of another time in my office, one fall, and somebody walked in. I never did this again after that, but I was actually crying in my office. If I had tears to shed, I found another place after this, because I found out from our district president, she got right on the phone thinking, Pastor Cord is losing it. We need a replacement. Three funerals that fall. That's a lot for here. And allergy medication. I finally read the printout on that stuff. It was over the counter. Oh, boy. Won't take that anymore. Made me weepy. It was showing. Can't have that. And then the morning of September 13th, 1987, 4:25 a.m., my telephone rings. In a slurred voice, a man is telling me that he's tired of our mail piling up on his dining room table and he wants to get off our mail list. I had to slow him down enough to get his address. And then after we hung up, I was kind of laughing to myself. I had to get up at 4:30 anyways. You know, we had to get the trailer loaded with everything but the chairs and get over to Snail Lake School for service. I look back on these times, and I've told younger pastors, sometimes your worst enemies are your greatest blessings. Several of these individuals, you don't know them, that's why I'm sharing this with you. Several of these individuals went on to other congregations with distinguished service, and their pastors would tell me how well they did. That's what we were praying for. It wasn't at this time and place, but another time and place. They bloomed in the grace and mercy of God. Isn't that really the glory of new life? And isn't it true that sometimes your most difficult circumstances, or in this case, you know, difficult people, prove to be a blessing to me if I'm praying for a humble heart? Do you think maybe the Lord is using this to help humble me? And if it drives us to our knees and it teaches us to be more dependent on the Lord Jesus and his strength, is that not the glory of new life, not in ourselves, but from the Lord? The steady strength to carry on. The desert and the parched land will be glad. Isn't that what happens when the snow melts up in the mountains? And those dry riverbeds in the desert suddenly fill with water? And the blossoms and blooms are all over the landscape and the fragrance of the flowers in the desert. You gotta breathe it to really appreciate it. And the water comes flowing down in what were dry riverbeds. In Israel, they call those wadi. And in every wadi in the wilderness, it fills with a torrent of water so that the wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will greatly rejoice and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon, that would be like the redwood forest up north in Lebanon, still there today. Most of it was cut down for railroads, I think, will be given to it, and the splendor of Carmel and Sharon brought into it. They will see the glory of the Lord, the Kavod Adonai, and the splendor of our God. He shows this splendor in ways that baffle the mind and heart of man. And I'm going to tell you some stories today about members that some of you never met or barely knew. But the quiet, steady strength of these individuals is worth glorifying God again today. One of them, some of you will remember, she was living in a group home over on 96, the Arner House, still there. Staff called us up because they saw something about our first service in the newspaper and said, Evelyn Downey wants to go to church. She just needs a ride. So we had members that stepped up and gave her a ride for several years. And then some of them started, you know, Pastor, you really got to get over and take Evelyn through instructions. Well, she was developmentally disabled. So I used the simplified catechism. Don't know how many times I was over there. We'd sit at the table and all the other residents, the staff, would just line them all up at the table. They all heard the word of God while Evelyn was going through instructions. But we had gone through the simplified catechism and I was praying, Lord, how will I know when she's ready to take Lord's Supper? Your word says we have to examine ourselves. You know, her answers were like yes or no. So one Sunday, a teenage boy for the family that had just driven her that day comes back in and says, Pastor, Evelyn is asking, when can I take communion? I said, praise the Lord. If she can remember in the parking lot, she's ready. Do you remember Evelyn taking communion? She's the only person I have ever seen who, after receiving the body and blood of our Lord, turned to the altar and blew a kiss to Jesus. In her wheelchair, little bit of a thing, she'd come down, somebody pushing her, and she's giving the Lord's peace to everybody in the congregation. And one of my favorite memories of Evelyn, this steady strength in one of the least of the ones in society, but great in the Lord's heart. She was trying to teach me one of, I don't know, it was like 14 verses of Jesus loves me, this I know. Honestly, she remembered them. I couldn't understand the words. So I was struggling and maybe looked a little bit frustrated. In a little while, Evelyn reached across and she patted me on the hand. And she says, it's okay. You'll get it. The Lord took her to heaven. Another resident, same place, Carol Native, said even less. But when she got to come and worship the Lord, there was this joy that just sparkled in her eyes to be in God's house, to receive his strength and his kindness. And you remember the man that sat in the wheelchair right about over there? William Snow? Nobody knew how William got his name. The record said that he was dropped off at the orphanage that used to be in Hennepin County. He was a ward of the county all his life. By the time we knew him, he was quite elderly. But he went through simplified catechism too. He was more conversant. Became a member, and I just remember when he would take Lord's Supper, I loved this because usually I'm giving the forgiveness and peace and blessing to God's people, but when I would make the sign of the cross for William, he would try to do it too at the same time. And people would notice that he was blessing me as I was blessing him. This childlike faith. William didn't have a worry in the world. Nobody knew how he got his name. I kind of picture some snowy day at the orphanage. Somebody drops this little bundle off at the door, and somebody liked the name William, so they call him William Snow. I don't know. But he's home in glory now. Now, all those descriptions that the good Lord gives us of the streams flowing in the desert, they were flowing through the lives of these, and strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. All our enemies of sin, death, and hell, Jesus came to destroy. And you can see it in the simple faith and the loving eyes of those who just trust in the Lord. We commit ourselves to God for steady strength. Sometimes when you think you can see, you're actually blind. And when you think you hear just fine, you're actually deaf. Spring of 1987. Still remember the doorbell in Shoreview. Young man, good health, footloose and fancy free, had the world by the tail. Living with his girlfriend. No use for organized religion. But you know what? He never told me to get lost. So I kept going back. Steve Williams always welcomed me. Told me he was a sales manager over at Berkeley Buick and White Bear. I had a Buick. I went over there to see Steve when I had my oil changed. Never told me to stay away. He came with his girlfriend to church in Snail Lake School and her niece, who turned out to be, ended up being, the wife of Dennis Lindbow, grandson of Clarence and Ann Bachlin. All from that one doorbell. And then one day in January, 1992, Steve called me up and a hoarse whisper told me he had inoperable lung cancer. At this point, God had his attention. He knew he needed to seek the Lord. He was very interested by that time in Bible information class, a Tuesday night class, and so he started, he came, he completed it as soon as he could, and what amazed me and why I thought of him on this was this joyful energy that he had as his body's wasting away through cancer. He kept on wearing this bright purple athletic suit to church and everywhere because he wanted people to ask him, you know, what's up? He wanted to tell them how God got through to him in time with his grace and mercy. So he took a road trip on motorcycles out to California with his buddies, and all the way back, he said he told everyone he could, out and back, his story of the grace and mercy of God and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. The day that the Lord called him home in October of 1992 was the day that his gift to our congregation, our mission statement in color, was put in the window above the altar. Our stained glass window was Steve's design and Steve's gift. Don't know whether he ever saw it. Maybe the angels brought him by on the way home to heaven. But that joyful energy continues to shine through that window, and if you're here at the right time of day, you'll see the bright colors on that back wall, and sometimes the cross is right over the cross on the back wall. It's just a phenomenal thing. The brilliance of that faith and his desire that people would know that God's grace got through to him. And then there was joyful energy in a dear old sister of mine by faith, but she was an only child. Her parents were long since gone. And she probably didn't get to church here any too often, but we have two of her Sunday school students here today. Our sisters, Virginia and Ardell, is it? Sunday school students of Dorothy Lindig. Down at Old Trinity in St. Paul, where Bill Bundy, I think, was confirmed down there. And Dorothy Lindig was a Sunday school teacher for many years, and she told me that she only took one class after she graduated from high school, one college-level class, and that was a class in bookkeeping. She wanted to know how to manage the family estate and her estate because she wanted to make a gift. Dorothy was the one that I went to visit in her home. She was, you know, toward the end there and not able to get out anymore. And I asked her, Dorothy, do you ever feel lonely? And she looked at me like I was insane. Pastor, I'm never alone. Yeah, she always knew the Lord Jesus was with her. And in the times now when my wife is going back and forth, the kids are grown, my wife is taking care of her folks, and once a month gone, I think of Dorothy often in the quiet house. I'm never alone. That joyful energy of that simple childlike faith is still shining there, because the Lord said, then will the eyes of the blind be open and the eyes of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. Dorothy on her deathbed kept on going on. You know, they're not all completely there in what they're thinking, but her only thought was, Pastor, what about people that are traveling and they don't have a place to stay? What can we do for them? How do you think about things like that except in this beauty of faith, that steady, joyful energy and the glory of new life? Spring, 1993, something very strange happened. In fact, I think it was probably the year before because I think that's when Steve Williams was out there in his purple jumpsuit. I was making calls during Lent. You know how busy it is with services twice a week, and I talked to another pastor about that. He was out making calls that spring. It's only happened one time in all my years here. I was going door to door. I really miss that. And after a couple of hundred homes, there was one trailer left by County Road J in Shoreview. And I had to get to that one. Lars and Genevieve Johnson. Again, never showed up much in church. It wasn't long after that they got into the Bible information class, learned all they could, became members, but he was on the oxygen tank, really couldn't get out. I have to go. They always welcomed me, always glad to receive the body and blood of the Lord, to worship the Lord of new life, even not being able to be here in the building. And soon the Lord called Lars home, and not long after that, Genevieve had to be in a memory unit in Lake Ridge. But in ministering to people with Alzheimer's, one of the things I've been amazed is just like my grandma who had it for 15 years, the last thing to go is the Holy Spirit's work in their heart. There continues to be this very strong sense that they are on the highway to heaven. They know where they are, and they know where they're bound. Doris Schmuggy, our member, too. They're living, Fred and Doris, in Belle Plaine now. And Doris is not so much aware anymore. But she can confess her sins, confess her faith in the Lord Jesus, and know what she's doing in Lord's Supper. These are the last things to go because the Holy Spirit has worked on their mind and heart. So Lars and Genevieve likewise, and the daughter, Sherry, moved into that trailer after Lars and Genevieve were gone home to heaven. She lived there until last week. Another quiet soul, rough life, but always welcoming, sure, come on over. Glad to receive the sacrament, the body and blood of the Lord, constantly confessed her faith. She didn't really want to go to some nursing home. She really wanted to go home to heaven. She's younger than me. I tried on Monday to call the place. Sister Donna says she's down at Lake Ridge. Tried there that afternoon. Doctor's appointment not yet done. So Thursday, late in the afternoon, my telephone rang, and Donna, the sister, was on the phone. Sherry's at Mercy Hospital. They don't give her much time to live. I said, I'm coming. Unfortunately, I took a wrong turn. But I got there just in time to the ICU at Mercy Hospital, and she was still breathing. Started a devotion with the family members that were there. She wasn't alone. When I got to two verses of Abide With Me, I was singing, and I noticed that behind me they turned and looked, and there was a little bit of a commotion. I just went on and read Psalm 90, gave the blessing, said the Lord's Prayer, and they told me that right during those favorite verses, Sherry went home to be with the Lord. You see, dear friends, that's the glory of new life. That's what it's all about. A highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in the way. Wicked fools will not go up on it. There's peace there because this is the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And you know this peace. You know this joy of Jesus. And I hope at those times when you feel like your life is going nowhere, your memories aren't so good anymore, you'll think of these precious souls. And think of who you are in God's sight. Who you are, whose you are, and where you're going. Because this last verse of our text is repeated several times throughout Isaiah. And it tells you who you are. You are the ransomed. ransomed with the precious blood of God's own Son that washed your sins away and washed you clean. The ransom to the Lord you are because he put his name on you in your baptism and adopted you into his family. And it says the ransom to the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. You might feel sometimes in life that you're always after gladness and joy and it keeps running away from you. But you got it backwards. In God's plan, that gladness and joy is behind you. That's why you can't see it necessarily in front of you. In fact, we say, don't we, in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord through Isaiah is saying at that day, when you finally see God in all his glory, and you see all his plans for you come together in the brilliance of heaven, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Please rise.